Alrighty, praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these people that have gathered. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. I ask that you think to my mind, speak through my vocal cords. Let it be all of you, none of you, none of me, all of you, none of me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. We rebuke that devil right now. It's going to be all of Jesus today. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to continue to discuss what we were discussing on last Sunday, which is the new covenant, which is new covenant faith. This is part two. Faith is spiritual warfare. Faith is spiritual warfare. A lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that. And I didn't really understand that faith was actually spiritual warfare. So God had to get me to see this aspect of faith. And a lot of times we're begging and praying to God, or praying to God, begging him to meet our needs or something like that. And it's a repetition and we continue to ask God. But faith is a spiritual law and the devil knows that. So we must learn to pray one time and thank God for the answer the rest of the time.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? We pray one time and we thank God for the answer the rest of the time. Hallelujah. And so the devil knows that there is a law of faith. And if you violate the law of faith, well, you can't receive the answers to your prayers. So it's something that we have to discipline ourselves in to learn how to pray one time and thank God the rest of the time. The rest of the time is just a warfare, because the enemy is going to work hard to get you out of faith, to get you to break the connection. It's like breaking a connection. So notice I have up there, faith is not a passive waiting game. Even though we wait through faith and patience, we receive. But there's something going on during that time. That waiting is just not sitting there idly doing nothing. It is actually putting pressure back on the works of darkness to turn loose our blessings. This is a spiritual principle that we must understand. To enter into the promised land, they had to fight. Even though the fight was God's battle, that the battle is not yours, but they had to physically go take possession of the promises of the promised land. And that's what we have to do. It's a spiritual battle. So God fought through them. Again, God fought, he fought through them so that they could lay hold of the promises he provided for them. And we have to do the same. God fights through us. And so you'll enter into what's called warfare prayer and things of that nature. And he'll give you divine strategies and plans. That's why we have to follow the plan that he has for our life so that we can wind up having what he has ordained for our life. Amen. We got to walk out his plan for our life so that we can have what he ordained for our life. So now, so faith again is not passively wait. It's not a passive waiting game. It's an active spiritual war where you must aggressively fight to hold on to what God has already provided for you in Christ Jesus. So God has already provided all of our needs by Christ Jesus. All means all. As I said, you need a theologian to complicate that three-letter word. All right? He supplied all of our needs pertaining to life and godliness. All means all. So we have to guard our heart against demonic opposition, and we have to resist doubt with the same intensity as sin. Now, one of the reasons why people struggle with faith is because they don't understand that faith is a fight. And most people haven't fought or resist against sin. They think that they're going to be able to live godly without any fight for the devil to try to oppose your desire to live godly. That's what it's all about. That's where you get those thoughts and those feelings to try to move your emotions to get you to go back into a sin nature. You know, moving on your emotions, moving on your soul, moving on your unregenerated mind, moving on your passions, right? That's what the enemy did. And so you struggle trying to live holy and righteous because the enemy began to fight you by putting pressure on you. Again, the enemy fights you by putting on pressure on you. And those are called temptations. But there's no temptation that is uncommon to man, mm-hmm. that God has not made a way to escape it.
That's right.
So I'm saying God is not unjust. You can escape that temptation, but you got to find out what the Bible says on how to get away or escape that temptation. But anyway, the same is with our provisional promises of Christ Jesus of godliness, healing, protection, deliverance. We have to fight for it. So we use our authority in Jesus' name as his, as the Lord over our life. His lordship is what we enforce in our life against the enemy. Jesus is the Lord of our life. And when we make that statement, we're telling him we have a covenant relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. He's our master. We are his property. And I know people don't like to hear that. No, but we are his property. He bought us with his blood.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good king, and he's a loving king, and he's a provisional king. He shares with us all the inheritance that God has given.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's also the same as, you know, you're married. You're married to someone, you know, I don't know, it could have been a former lover. It is what it is, but you're married now. But here they come, you know, trying to put pressure on you for the from the past. Well, you remember all this? Remember? No, I'm married now. Old things have passed away. That ship has sailed. The devil will never stop trying to get you to get back into bed with him. That's just the way he is. But you have to show your commitment to your Lord Jesus Christ. You have to show your commitment to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job. And when you're showing your commitment to your spouse, that is when your spouse can't see you. You know, when you're absent from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about this too, how faith, how trust completes your faith. When you're married, you're trusting that person. You can't see what they're doing. You got to trust them. But God see everything about us. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Ain't no need to try to fool him. So let's go ahead and get into this. Continue. Faith works through knowledge of God's love, God's redeeming love. So our faith works through our knowledge through God's redeeming love. Very important to understand that. Our faith works through our knowledge of God's redeeming love for us. Glory to God. I'm just going to use this relationship thing. Say you was in a relationship with a person. That person was mean and abusive and hard, you know, and just put you through the ringer. Then you meet someone that loves you and just been nice to you and doing everything in the world to you, for you, treating you just so wonderful. So now you have a decision to make. Do I want to continue to get in this bad relationship with this person? Oh, I think I love that person. But do that person love you back? This person loves you, and they're doing everything in the world for you. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus, when we're one to Christ, we're one to the Lord through loving kindness. He draws us.
Yes.
That's what mercy is about. It's about the manifestation of his loving kindness to draw you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son's love. It's a connection of love. So when you get knowledge that redemption, salvation is about his loving protection and care for you, being saved becomes easy. But you got to want to be saved. So anyway, just using that analogy, you know, how many people go back to their former lover? Come to find out that person ain't changed. Because what? The devil ain't going to change. The devil is not going to change. So you might as well just leave the world and go ahead and just make a connection and abide in the kingdom of God's dear son's love. Amen?
Amen.
The devil's not going to change. The hellishness that's going on in the devil's kingdom, the world, it ain't going to change. You got to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. All right, so look what it says in 1 John 4:10. It says, and this is love, not that we love God. We didn't love God. Mm-hmm. But that he loved us. He loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation, that is, an anointed sacrifice and the satisfying offering, glory to God, for our sins. Fulfilling God's requirement of justice against sin,
yeah,
and placating his wrath. His wrath is against the devil,
yes,
that hurt his creation. You understand that? We got to stop fighting people. Our fight is not with people. Christian folks need to get delivered from people. This and people that, and this person is doing this to my ministry. It ain't your ministry, first of all. And if you're upset that somebody did something to you, then that's the problem. All righty. 1 John 4:19 Amplified says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Did you see that? Love loves first. Mm-hmm. Too often we're trying to manufacture the love of God for people when you're not abiding in the love of God for yourself. It doesn't work. You can't love people without the love of Jesus loving people through you. Say that again. You cannot love people without the love of Jesus loving people through you. So stop trying to love people in your own ability. You're going to get taken advantage of. You're going to get used. Stop feeling sorry for people. People have a right. Look, people, listen, this is so simple, and I really mean this. God is an equal opportunity blesser. He's an equal opportunity lover. He's an equal opportunity savior. He's an equal opportunity deliverer. It ain't our job to deliver people. It ain't our job to save people. It's our job to bring them to Jesus, who is their savior and their deliverer. That's the way we love people, by telling them about Jesus. We can't do that. So how many people do things to try to win people to the Lord in their own ability, and then they get hurt, and they wonder why they hurt? You're hurt because you're trying to help people through your own natural ability, because you're trying to feel good about yourself by helping people. So that's your source. That becomes your idol. And a lot of times people trying to get this, what was that word? They're trying to cope. They're using salvation, helping people, as their own personal coping mechanism to make them feel good about themselves. You're just a crutch and don't even know it. You got to get healed first before you can share that Jesus is the healer with other people.
That's right.
Okay. Praise the Lord. So I mean that. People can come to Jesus anytime they want to. They're looking for somebody to be a crutch to and to lean on. We don't give people handouts. We give people hand up. I'll say it again. We don't give people handouts. We give people hand ups. All right, let's move on. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed. Did you see that? We have known and believed. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. You got to know and believe that God loves you first. That's where the devil had me. I didn't believe God loved me, and I'm going to church. So I'm working to try to get God to bless me. Unbeknown to me, that's what a lot of people do. I was doing it. A lot of people still doing it. They're trying to earn love. You don't earn love. Love is automatically given. When a child is born, their parents love them automatically. That child don't have to try to work to be loved. God didn't design it that way. You love that child first. You put love in that, in the love bank of a child first. You understand that? So if you don't understand that, you're going to still try to earn God's love, and that's works. And God's not going to bless you, because he can't bless works. He bless you receiving his love by grace. And as I told you, the definition of grace is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. That's what grace is. He told Paul, when you are weak, my grace is strong. So he gave them the empowerment and strength. Grace is God doing for you what you can't do yourself. Grace is not you don't deserve it. There's no such definition. Religion did that. To say you don't deserve grace is to say you don't deserve to be saved. It's to say you don't deserve to be loved. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and you couldn't help it. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. He did it because he loved. And he didn't want people to suffer. So you taking it. Okay, I ain't going to go on all that. Enough of that. All right. John 4:16 in Amplified. Let's read that real quick. It says, we have come to know by personal observation and experience. How does the child know that their parents love them? It's simple. Through observation and experience. That's how you, some things you have to observe and you have to have experience. So you got to let God love on you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Once you experience and observe God's love in your life, you won't go back to the world. But when you're in religious systems, you're going to keep working for the love, and it's not going to work because you can't work for love. You understand that? You cannot work for love. I couldn't make my wife love me. Either she did or didn't. My wife, I want to say this. This is amazing. When we were younger, I was in a relationship with someone else. You know, we were going through what we was going through. We were young, and my wife is stronger than people think. She said, you got to make your mind up because you ain't going to have both of us. And so she decided she moving on. And so that's when it hit, you know, the rubber met the road for me. I'll never forget it. I was at Dennis Auto Point selling cars. And I said, I got to figure out what we're going to do here. So I walked into this back lot. It was a gravel lot where they kept all the trade-in cars. And I'm back there talking to God, praying. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to me and said, which one that you can't stand to see with somebody else? Oh, I said, oh, that's easy. I'm sorry. I think to myself, oh, that's easy. I can't stand to see Tony with nobody else. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't stand that. That hurt my heart. He said, love is jealous. That's the one you love. Hello. God had to show me. Love is jealous. And God is a jealous God. He don't want you to be a part of anything but him. He wants to love on you.
Yeah.
He wants to care for you. Do you understand? All to himself. Glory to God. So love is observed and experienced.
Yeah.
I didn't care if that other person was with somebody else. And what I do, I got a little image in my head. Oh, can I? Oh, no. Yeah, I don't care if a rat's rump. I'm not trying to be funny, but I didn't love the person. All right. Well, anyway. And believe, look what it says, with deep, consistent faith. You got to continue to believe with deep, consistent faith. You see that? The love which God has for us. We have to have deep, consistent faith in the love that God has for us. That's what makes faith work. And that's what the enemy, it does, is he tries to pull you away from believing that God loves you. Do you understand that? And see, when you understand love, you don't have to try to be something but yourself when you understand that you're loved for yourself. Glory to God. You just be yourself when you love for yourself. When people comparing you with other people, they got a love problem. They got a problem with you being uniquely you. And the devil don't want you to be uniquely you because you can only be you. And if you try to be somebody other than you, you're false. And you're going to struggle and you're going to be frustrated the rest of your life because you can't express who you are in God the way God created you. You got to learn to love yourself. Because God loves you. That's the way he created you. He loves you just the way he created you. And know the difference between being uniquely you and being a sinner. We can be uniquely who we are in God and not live in sin.
Yeah.
Your personality is not your sin nature. Glory to God. I'm going to say that again. Your personality is not your sin nature. Your personality is what makes you uniquely you, expressed, and it's an expression of God through you. I'm Brother Larry. I am who I am. People may not like the way I talk, speak, or preach. I don't care. I have to be uniquely me, and you have to be uniquely you. I don't compare, and I don't compete, because love don't do that. Love is secure. Insecure people don't understand. They're not secure in loving of themselves. And when you love yourself, you're okay being with yourself.
Okay.
I don't care. I love myself. There was a time I didn't, and I know God loves me. And when you understand that, you get free from the devil. We're talking about the devil because the devil works to keep people from truly knowing and abiding in the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what a faith fight is all about. Say this: God loves me too.
God loves me too.
Well, they, you know, since you understand, God loves you too.
That's right.
You ain't got to be envious or jealous of nobody else. God loves you too. He's saying, be uniquely you, and you'll see his love flow through you. Glory to God. I said, be uniquely you, and you'll see his love flow through you. There's no carbon copies of nobody. All right, let's continue on. Romans 8:31, it reads. We're going to read Romans 8:31-39. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Stick with what the word of God say. Stick with the scriptures, people. Huh? Look what the scriptures say. Stick with the scriptures, doggone it.
Wrong.
He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. He did not separate his own son. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. Did you see that? How shall he not with him also freely give us some things?
All things.
All things. All means all. Like I said, you need a theologian to complicate that three-letter word all. You do. I don't care. That's me. This is where I preach. You need a theologian to complicate what that just said. And they're going to give you a bunch of big words and speech and have you working like a Hebrew slave to try to get the blessings that God has freely given you. You are his child.
Yes.
Children don't have to work to be blessed.
Come on.
Children don't have to work for their food. They just have to behave so that things will go well with them because they're training them to live a productive, constructive life so that they don't get hurt. And that's all God is asking from us. I want you to live holy and righteous so that you don't break any spiritual laws so that the blessing can fall on you.
Yeah.
This is not rocket science. Praise the Lord. Freely giving us all things. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? I like this here. I think about, here you have a king and you have a prince and you have some princesses. What person of that land, of that kingdom, will bring a riling accusation against the king's children? Off with their head. I wish you would bring an accusation against the king's son or daughter. The king know the mischievousness that's in their children. You better not bring it up to the king. That's his child. God knows the things about us. And the world says, if our heart condemns us, he's saying he's greater than our hearts. He will deal with our hearts. That's what I said. Stop that. Stop listening to all that psychoanalytical crap. Nobody can change your heart but God. And you got to want it changed for him to change you.
That's right.
All this working hard for stuff. Just go say, Lord, change me, help me, fix me, show me, you know, what the word say about that? Circumcise my heart, doggone it. Glory to God. So who's going to bring a charge against you? Nobody. It's God who justifies. You're justified. Who is he who condemns? How you going to condemn somebody? I was talking to somebody. How are we going to sit up here and tell somebody they ain't good enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's come down to this. See, they're good and saved, but you ain't good enough to preach Jesus. I mean, it blows my mind how religion operates. Without Jesus, none of us qualify.
Okay.
Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why we put on his righteousness. We got new rags. Beautiful rags. I shared this on Facebook, and it was true. You know, y'all was there when I went and got, my wife was there to get the seamstress, or what do you call it, to fix up my suits so they fit. You know, I want them to fit. And so anyway, she had me. She said, tell me what you think. And I started looking down, and she said, look up. Look at the mirror. You know, she had to tell me that a couple of times because I had a habit of looking at myself down this way. You can't see clearly looking down at yourself. But when I focused in and looked at that mirror, and I said, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an experience I went through. Now, I know that you got to keep looking at that word, but that experience hit me. I was like, I need to really get people to understand that you can't see yourself clearly. You can't see the newness you are in Christ. You can't see your righteousness in Christ. And I've been saying this. You got on robes of righteousness. But if you don't see who you are in the mirror of that word, you're going to keep looking at yourself trying to figure stuff out when it's already been figured out. In God's eyes, you look just like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Man. Man, I'm about to fall over on that thing. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be telling people, how good they look in Christ Jesus. When someone tells you how you look in Jesus, you will begin to take on that image on the side of your heart.
Yeah.
Religion always pointing out to problems. But I'm trying to point to you the solution of the problem, which is you are wholly acceptable and above reproach in his eyesight. And I see you the way God sees you. And if you don't see me the way God sees me, you don't see yourself the way God sees you. Do you understand that? And that's what I was sharing with this individual. People that got a problem with how you look and talking about the past all the time, and they go to church, they ain't saved. They haven't experienced salvation yet. Because when you are saved, you understand that all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But it only come new for you, huh? No, it's come new for everybody that received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So how you better than me? How this person's good enough to say, preach Jesus, but I'm not good enough to preach Jesus. Are you out your rabbit mind? You are ignorant and deceived. Why? Because they're stuck on performance. I don't think they're going to stop preaching. You're stuck on performance. And then you get your heart broken when this person that you know ain't living godly. I can't believe I'm church hurt. You church hurt because you're looking at people instead of looking at Jesus.
Come on.
That's why you church hurt. And everybody pointing each other's faults out when you've been redeemed by the blood.
Come on.
You're supposed to be looking, tell it, man, look how, man, you're looking nice today. Man, glory to God. The glory, the righteousness of God looks good on you. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? People straighten up. Yeah, I do. Yeah, you ain't got no marriage problems. You just have a faith in Jesus problem. Huh? All right, where I'm at here. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who is also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us? Look what that says there in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Why do you mention those things? Because that's what the devil does to try to separate you from the love of Jesus, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So he comes to try to separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. What? The enemy brings the tribulation. Why would God do that? The enemy brings tribulation. He brings the distress. He brings persecution and famine and nakedness. Persecution comes from other ignorant Christians that don't know who they are in Christ. The world ain't persecuting us. It's usually another brother or sister in the body that's upset. Like I told you, everybody talking about Joel Osteen. What do you have a problem with him for? He ain't bothering you. Well, he ain't preaching the full gospel. He preaching what Jesus put in his heart to preach. You don't like it? Talk it. Talk to Jesus about it. And Jesus will tell you to shut up and do what I told you to do. Shut up and be obedient. You probably ain't going to the church you need to go to. That's why you still got all that problems in your life.
Well.
Who shall persecute? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. Look what it says in 36, as it is written, for your sakes, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. What do you mean, his sake? For his benefit, so he can show the devil, them my people. You account them for sheep for the slaughter. That's the devil that does that. God's not accounting us as sheep for a slaughter. It is the devil thinks that we can be slaughtered because we're nothing. And God shows him time and time and time again, I will always defend my people. I will always take care of my church. I will always rise them up from the pit of despair.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing the devil can do to you, stop you from experiencing the love that Jesus has done for you and provided for you. Nothing whatsoever. Love is the strongest force in the universe.
Yes, it is.
Love is strong, man. Love will fight for what it loves for. And love loves us, and Jesus is fighting for us.
Come on.
Do you understand that? Mess with my wife, and you'll see this little fella and show you how much love he got for her. I'll blow a hole in your head before and go to jail for it, smiling. And I probably shouldn't say something like that. But see, because love fights for what it loves for.
Amen.
What it loves. So Jesus loves us, which he does, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, all power and all honor and all glory. He's fighting for us. He don't want us sick. He don't want us broken. Religion teaches you that garbage, and that comes from the devil. How can that be love? What parent want to see their child sick?
None.
And some religious group niggled and told you that healing has been done away with for the last apostles, and there is no scripture for that. Just your big water head full of nothing, trying to impress people with your Greek and all that goofiness. What is that? Separating you from love. He heals you because he loves you.
Yes, he does.
It's just that simple. Glory to God. Man, what time is it? Let me finish this. Verse 37. It says Romans 8. Yet in all these things we were more than conquerors.
Yes.
Did you see that? More than conquerors. So all that stuff, he brought us out as conquerors. Through him who what? Mad at us. Hated us. No, through him that loved us. Faith don't work until you understand that God loves you.
Amen.
You'll never have faith. You'll never fulfill what God has put in your heart to do in life if you don't believe he loves you enough to do it through you and for you. So you got to come away from all those people that look down on themselves. Don't feel they're worthy. Well, duh, that's what salvation. Salvation is to make you worthy. Glory to God. Man, is anybody hearing the gospel anymore? God loves you, man. And that's the war, to walk in the fact that God loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Look what he says. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now look what it says in verse 38. It says, for I'm persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be persuaded that God loves you. And once you're persuaded that God loves you, it says neither death nor life, nor angel or principalities of power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor death. That's the fourth dimension. That's called the dimension. That's the spiritual dimension right there. Nor any other created things shall be able to separate. Did you see that? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. In Christ Jesus. Where is the love of God? In Christ Jesus. That's why I sign off. Love is in God. God's love is in Jesus always. God's love is in Jesus. Where is the love of God? In Jesus. I want God to love me. God don't love me. Yeah, he do. Where is his love? In Christ Jesus. You got to come and abide in Jesus to be so that the love of God can manifest in your life. You'll never experience his love. You'll never know how much love he has for you until you abide in Jesus, who is the manifested love of God. That's why I preach Jesus. I don't preach religious systems of men. It didn't work for me, but Jesus works for me. And he's going to start touching people's heart and go over there. He's teaching about me.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the love of God? It is in Christ Jesus. So the devil seeks to keep you from Jesus. The devil don't want people to come to Jesus. Oh, why? Because that's where the manifested love of God is, in Jesus. James 4:7 says, spiritual warfare is guarding your heart. Now listen, spiritual warfare is guarding your heart. This is what spiritual warfare is about. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. That submit to God. Submit to who God is. Submit to his lordship over your life. Jesus' lordship over your life. And the devil's going to flee. When you tell the devil that you belong to Jesus, the devil leaves you alone. Now, this is the only way I can use this analogy. It'll make sense because it's a principle. When we was in the biker thing, they had groups or clubs had what's called property of. You know, their woman was, they're called property of that thing. Now, but the principle is the same. Either you're the property of the devil or you're the property of Jesus. Once you gave your life to Jesus, you became property of the Lamb. Glory to God.
God's property.
You're God's property.
Isn't his alone?
And don't just this you got this got to be a reality. Not just this. I know they got Kirk Franklin, I think he got the song. I mean, that's beautiful. But that got to be a heart reality. Your body belongs to Jesus.
Yeah.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, but no blood of his blood, because his blood is on the mercy seat. But he just needs your blood because that makes you legal in the earth.
Uh-huh.
So you can act on his behalf. Glory to God. That's good stuff, boy, if you caught what I just said. You're property of Jesus. So when you say Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're letting the devil know that you're his property. You're under his rulership. You're under his authority. He's governing you. You're in his kingdom, and he's the king of his kingdom. And if you touch me, you're touching Jesus. If you touch you, they're touching Jesus. So if they touch you, they're touching the king. Do you understand that? That has to be a reality in your heart. So sickness has no legal right in the body of Jesus. Glory to God. See, this is what you got to be built up in. And that's what I'm doing to the best of my ability. I'm preaching Jesus so that you can have faith in him. And when you have faith in him, the Holy Spirit confirms it with signs and wonders following. Glory to God. So faith is an active spiritual war where believers must aggressively fight to hold on to what God has provided for them in Jesus. Amen? 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called to have a confession and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Did you see that? Confession is to say the same thing. It means to say what the word says. Confession means to say what Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he has done for you, and who you are in him. That's what confession is. It means to confess who Jesus is. He's the Lord of my life. Confess what he's done for me, or for you, excuse me, what he's done for you, or us, me too. And who you are in Jesus. Is that making sense to you? That's what you confess. You confess that. Yes, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but what are the benefits for our faith and believing in his resurrection? What are our cross, our covenant cross blood brought benefits? You're supposed to believe those. Without faith in those, it's not going to show up. Are you understanding this? The word lay hold in the Greek means lambano, which means to grab a hold to it. It implies not to let it go. When you go to court and they put you on the witness stand, they ask you to testify. And here come the attorney to try to trip you up with words to try to make your testimony a lie. Words. Jesus said, death and life is in the power of your tongue.
Yep.
The Bible says, let the redeemed what? Say so. Did Jesus redeem you?
Yes.
What about that pain? I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what the word of God says Jesus has done for me. You see that? See, that's the pressure. The devil puts pressure on you. And he tries to put pressure on your tongue to say something opposite to what the word says Jesus has done for you. See, you got to, that's walking by faith, not by sight or feeling, your senses. I know your body don't feel healed, but by his stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
And if you hold fast to that confession, you will have it in your life.
That's right.
That's the way it works. And it's a fight. Because when you're not feeling good, it's hard to sometimes say, I'm all right. You just got to press past that. Remember I told you last week? I didn't say not take your medicine. Take your medicine, but say, by his stripes I'm healed. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm coming off this mess. I'm taking the practicals of this thing. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. What's your life? Jesus is the issues of your life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. So he's your life. So guard Jesus. Guard your heart with what Jesus has already done for you. Keep in your heart. Don't let that go. No matter how you feel or what it looks like, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is my health and my healing. Jesus is my prosperity and my plenty. Glory to God. And you stand on that thing, man, for the rest of your days with two down on the inside of you with a stubborn stance, you're going to break through. I said, you're going to break through when you stand through that thing and never change your confession of what Jesus has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. The devil trying to slaughter you. We're going to come through victorious when we stand on what Jesus said, what the word says Jesus has done for us and who we are and what we have. We never move off of it. Never. Man, that's good stuff. That's good preaching today. That's good preaching. Praise God. I'm working hard today. I say it for myself since the pastor right here. He's preaching at another church. In Daniel 10, the heart is a battlefield. The heart is the battlefield. And this should be in spiritual war. That must be guarded and maintain continuous belief. So the heart is the battlefield. See, the devil trying to sow stuff in your heart that ain't there.
Yeah.
He's trying to pluck up and take out of your heart. You know, the heart is the battlefield. So, but you guard your heart with unscriptural thoughts. So you guard your heart by taking authority over your thought life first. Because thoughts get in your mind and they try to sink in your heart. And if they get in your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he tries to get you to think those things in your heart. So you have to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of Jesus, your life in Jesus. So let's look at Daniel. What time is it? I got about four minutes here. Let's look at Daniel here. Well, I'm just going to say it. You know the scripture. In the book of Daniel, we'll read it real quick. Look what it says here. It says in Daniel 10, 12 to 13, it says, and he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So he prayed to God.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we pray to God and it's like, what's taking so long? Your words were heard. But look at this here. He says, I have come because of your words. So your words are going to be answered. Your prayers are going to be answered. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. 21 days. There's a 21-day war to get Daniel's answer to him. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone with the king of Persia. So this is a spiritual thing. So just like there's a natural, there's a spiritual that reflects the natural situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a spiritual war that took place. So what's taking so long? There's a spiritual war. That's why he doesn't want you to give up and quit. That's why it says that his soul has no pleasure in him that turns, you know, that doubts or changes his mind.
Mm-hmm.
A war has been released to get your answer, but you quit in midstream. That's why sometimes God don't even engage in to help getting your answer because he know that you're not going to stand your ground. Man. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So you got to understand that there's a spiritual war that takes place to get your blessings to you. God moves in the invisible to start rearranging things in the natural to get your blessings to you. But you got to hold on. But when you understand what's going on, the holding on becomes easy.
Yeah.
And so the devil don't want you to understand the battle, how to fight the battle, how to properly engage in the battle, because then you will have victories in your life. And that's what religion is designed. Religion is designed to keep you from understanding how the kingdom operates. All right, enough with that. So the enemy will try to break into your heart to get you to stop believing with problems, circumstances, and situation. You have to believe the promises of God, and that is the fight. The fight to continue to believe in spite of all the things that look completely opposite of what the Word of God says. Is that making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
As we stand trusting and believing God's word, angels are fighting on our behalf. Angels are fighting for us. God is fighting for us. So angels are fighting. Their assignment is to minister in the fight for God's children, the children of, to minister, is in the book of Hebrews. What does that say? minister, they're ministering for our salvation. I see it, but I can't quote it perfectly right now. But anyway, so God is moving and causing things to happen in the invisible so that they manifest in our physical world for us. That is important to understand. Look at Zechariah. We have to push back demonic opposition. You know what? I'm going to stop. We will come back next week because I'm going to discipline myself to keep it 45 minutes from now on. So, hallelujah. Amen. We're going to stop. Father God, I thank you for this message today. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to talk about Jesus today and just get it in our heart that you love us. You are fighting for us. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.